Hi everyone, how you doing? Welcome on Hello Esports, a brand new podcast by Orange, Lützebäuer Journal, and the Luxembourg Esports Federation about all things esports in Luxembourg. My name is Maxim and I'll be your host. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about esports. But if you don't have the slightest idea of what esports are, don't worry at all. Whether you're a FIFA pro or someone whose knowledge stops at Mario Kart, this podcast is exactly for you. To be honest, I don't know much about esports either. Actually, that's the fun part. We're going to discover it together. And I'm so excited because worldwide, esports have grown so much lately that they've become inevitable. In recent years, they've developed into a mass phenomenon that is watched by an audience of millions. Online via live streams, but also in sold-out stadiums. Professional teams get bigger and bigger and are more and more and attract the biggest sponsors such as Red Bull, Coca-Cola or even Mercedes. They employ countless professional players who are now offered scholarships to pursue their dream of becoming their video game's best player. And those players can even face each other from home, which, well, actually makes it a sport like no other. And yet, it often remains overlooked. Sometimes simply because it's being looked down on, but sometimes also because it's a world so wide you don't know where to get started. So to make it easier, let's go into multiplayer mode and strengthen our team. Former esports player René Treux will be our expert for this podcast. That means that for each esports specific word, he'll jump in and make sure we know exactly what we talk about. So let's just get started with the word esports.
Esports is the word for the competitive and professional gaming scene. It's an umbrella term, like sports. Sports has tennis, football, etc., and esports has all sorts of different games where a high skill cap can be achieved. This includes online leagues, ladders and tournaments, as well as offline tournaments and in fact official world championships. Due to sponsorships in esports organizations, the best esports players will earn a salary and often win prize money. Unlike what some people think, this doesn't include casual gaming or playing a game with your friends.
But how do esports work in Luxembourg? Well, that's the question we'll be trying to answer in this podcast. So from episode to episode, we'll go and have people on who are very active in the video games world and discuss it from every angle with them. Today, our goal will be to draw a landscape of what esports in Luxembourg are as an introduction. And whom better than the LESF to help us do it? So our very first guest will be the founder and president of the Luxembourgish Esports Federation, Joey Hoffmann.
So I'm Joe, I'm the president of the Luxembourg Esports Federation. Besides this, I have a company that's active in the esports industry, where we organize different tournaments throughout the year.
And the federation's latest member, Sasha Weischl.
My name is Sasha. I am the newest member of the Luxembourg Esports Federation with my team called Sentient Esports. And that's basically me.
But first, let's get to know our guests a little bit better. To kick things off, I decided to run back the years and ask Joey and Sasha a simple question. What is the very first video game you ever bought?
So for me, the very first game that I ever bought was Zelda Ocarina of Time when I was 7 or 8 years old. That was my very first game.
My first game was that I bought myself was World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft is a fantasy game, released by Blizzard in the year 2004. It was created purely for online multiplayer. While there were tournaments in the past for differently sized teams, the most important mode was and will be 5v5 team battles.
It was a bit later, but all the games before it was my parents that paid for this. And my first game ever was Super Mario on Super Nintendo.
Okay, so I think games have evolved very much in the last years. So I was wondering, today when you come home after a big long day, what is the first game you put on?
So for me, the first game that I'm thinking of is going to be either Valorant, because I'm playing FPS games since I can remember. If I'm not playing Valorant, then it's probably going to be Rocket League, as I was also a competitive player in Rocket League a few years ago.
FPS games are first-person shooters, games you see through the eyes of the character you control. Usually, you only see the hands and weapon of your character. Valorant is a great example. The 5v5 character-based tactical FPS is popular since Riot Games released it in 2020. Each character, or agent as they are called in the game, possess unique abilities which makes the choice of character and communication within the team important. Rocket League is a game created by Epic Games specifically for esports purposes. One of the most popular esports titles in the world, especially since becoming free-to-play near the end of 2020, combines racing and football. At the biggest tournaments, the game is played in a 3v3 mode, however you could also play 2v2 or 1v1. The player and his or her teammates each control a car, and together they try to launch a big ball into the goal of the opponent at the other side of the field or arena.
For me, it's also the FPS games. I play a lot of CSGO, PUBG, Warzone.
CSGO is short for Counter-Strike Global Offensive, a 5v5 team-based tactical shooter game revolving around bomb defusal, released by Valve in 2012. PUBG is short for Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. Developed and published by PUBG Corporation in 2016, PUBG is a so-called online multiplayer battle royale game. A battle royale game is an online multiplayer gaming genre focused on survival. Last man standing gameplay combined with exploration and scavenging elements, the battle royale genre pits up to 150 players against one another, each player tasked to be the last surviving character on a shrinking map. No matter how much kills you make, if you're not the sole survivor, you will just be a note in the statistics. Another example of these games also got mentioned here, Warzone. Warzone is the latest edition in the Call of Duty series. Released in 2020 by Activision, it expands on the existing Call of Duty games, where usually the player does battle in big historical war settings.
But on the other side, I also like MMOs.
MMO games is short for Massively Multiplayer Online Games. It refers to an online game with huge numbers of players on the same server, often hundreds or thousands. MMOs usually feature a huge open world where players can cooperate, interact, or compete with each other on a large scale with people from all over the world.
So, as I said already, I played World of Warcraft. There's a new game that came up recently, New World, and probably I will try it out.
Do you only play for fun or also for competitive purposes? Or?
I played also competitive FPS. I was also in the best weights in World of Warcraft, but World of Warcraft is not such a competitive game for me. So in FPS I played competitive, but now not anymore. It takes too much time because if I want to play, I want to be at a good level, and this takes too much time.
You don't want to play to lose?
No, that's not my mentality.
Okay. And you talked about being competitive in the past as well.
Yeah, I was competitive in the past. Just most recently was in Rocket League. And beforehand it was for roughly 15 years of Counter-Strike. When you get old, you think differently. And I try to reverse the roles and help those who are on the same path as I was and trying to help them as much as I can. To get them where they want to be.
And you don't miss playing competitive? Or
I do miss playing sometimes, but I think what I don't miss is just the mental stress that you have to keep at bay so you don't go crazy.
Yeah, as in most competitive sports.
Correct.
Probably.
Yes.
As I was watching Joey and Sasha talking about their first games and what they play today, I realized just how big their love for esports is. They could have gone on for hours and hours, so I opted to try and find out even more about it and ask them what it is that makes their passion for esports so strong and intense. How would you describe that massive passion you have for esports? It's a tough one.
I think for me personally, it is something that built over the years. I remember when I started playing very competitively, it was still in a cellar of a friend. At the time, they had the best internet of all my friends. And we played from morning to evening and switched places. And at the end, we were both at the peak, I would say, in Counter-Strike 1.6 at the time, that we even founded the Luxembourg national team, which was quite a while ago. And from that on, it was always just competitive. Whatever game I touched, I was not in it for just the fun of it. And I still, to this day, when I play a game, I just cannot play it just for the fun. Even if it's the most fun game you could find. Like, as an example, let's say SpongeBob, the game. If I would play it, I would play it competitively. Time attack mode. Whatever it is, I cannot play a game just for fun. And I think that made me also rethink everything and found my esports team.
Yeah, so it's as much a character trait as a passion for esports, actually.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
I think the mentality to always give the best and also to always be the best is something that I think we have also in common. I also cannot play a game just for fun. I think every time I touch a game, I always want to be give my best, want to be the best, and I don't like to lose. I think this is something, but this is not something only in esports. I think this is something, a mentality thing that you find in every situation in life. And for esports, it's just I personally think that esports. I think perhaps we will talk later about it, but I think that esports is a sport because if you go on a certain level, you have so much things that you need to think of and that you need to work on to really be the best. And this is something because if you can compare it to every other sport, it has the same traits and same things you need to work on to be the best.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, because when I hear your arguments, it's clearly arguments that any sportsman could say, the competitiveness and everything. But on the other hand, you kind of went away from competitive playing to founding the federation. So how did that come about?
Yeah, going away from competitive was not the reason. Because we founded the federation. The federation, the idea behind federation is that some people in Luxembourg thought already that this is a step that also had to be taken a long time ago. Then we came together and we discussed, and everyone had the same opinion that this is the next step to develop esports in Luxembourg.
Yeah. And how did you join it and why?
When you look at normal sports, you see that every association is always part of the federation of that specific sport, or in just the national sport federation. And I think it shouldn't be any different to esports. It doesn't matter whether your team plays in Counter-Strike, plays FIFA, or plays NFL, for that matter. I think they should all just be regrouped under one roof, which is the federation. And that is why my goal was from the beginning to join the federation as well.
Joey and Sasha's common aim is for esports to grow in Luxembourg. So after getting to know them, it was now time to find out about the esports scene in the country and the people who play it. But since esports regroup hundreds of disciplines, the first step was to find out what the most competitively played video games in Luxembourg are.
Competitively in Luxembourg, I would definitely say the title number one is FIFA.
Which is quite strange, because worldwide it's not even in top 10.
No, it's beneath 10% of market share. I think all the sports simulations together are around 15% of market share. So this is, compared to Luxembourg, it's really strange. But on the other side, it's also explainable, because the main events in Luxembourg are FIFA events. And so it's quite reasonable why there are more players playing FIFA than other games, because you, if you don't have events, then it's also boring to play a game. And yeah, this is why also FIFA, we have also the, you know, the best players, the best best range of players currently in Luxembourg.
All in FIFA.
Yeah, all in FIFA. Then we have some good players, but these are more single players. So for example, in team games, in League of Legends, we have a very good player that is currently playing in the Netherlands. We have in Counter-Strike, we have a very good player that is currently playing in Germany. In Fortnite, we had a player that was playing in France. And so, but these are always single players. But in FIFA, we have like six players that have really a very high level. Then we have X Fabinho, Ivan Nilsson and LXB FIFA that won last season's official FIFA, EA FIFA League in Luxembourg. They were all at a very high level. Ivan Nilsson defeated Umut from RB Leipzig last year. So yeah, the level in FIFA is quite good. And I think in the other games, we still have a lot to go.
What is the level that is played at here in Luxembourg? Because I think that's the best indication to know where the country is at in a sport or here in a category of sports. The biggest players here, whether FIFA or something else, what level do they really compete at? Do we talk about professionals or?
So basically in Luxembourg, there's no one that gets paid professionally. So no one can live from it. But for example, X Fabinho last year was a long time in the top 50 Europe. What's quite really, really good. And then Ivan Nilsson and LXB FIFA, they were in the top 1,000. That's also already very good.
But do they play in Luxembourg, if a Luxembourgish team?
So, yeah, basically last year the E-League was so that everyone needed to play for a Luxembourgish football club to represent a Luxembourgish football club. But they were also signed by esports organizations. But all three players there, for example, were signed by Luxembourgish esports organizations.
So in FIFA, we can say that nationality of a player still has a link to the club he has to play for.
In FIFA, yes. This is in FIFA, this is, for example, one bigger problem in FIFA. For example, it's very difficult for a Luxembourgish player to play in a foreign league. Because, for example, in Germany, whether you need to live in Germany or you need to have German nationality, same is true for Belgium, for the Netherlands. It's not true for the Italian league and for the Premier League, i.e. Premier League in the UK.
How does competitive FIFA work? There are several local on- and offline tournaments to compete in FIFA and win prizes. But almost all countries that have a football competition now also have a FIFA esports competition with the football clubs in the highest division of that country involved. Each club has to field one or two players to represent them in this official national FIFA championship, usually broadcasted on television with live commentary and analysis, and in some cases just on YouTube or Twitch. Usually football clubs cooperate with or hire an esports organization to help them out with coaching and guiding their player or players. The Luxembourgish Championship's official name is Orange E-League. Orange E-League is currently in Season 1, and unique in the sense that the clubs need to field players with the Luxembourgish nationality. Most other countries allow foreign FIFA players to come in and represent their national clubs. While this may seem like a disadvantage for the league, stripping them of potentially the best players in the world, it is a huge positive for Luxembourgish esports in general. While the best players in other games are likely to play for an organization abroad in order to earn more money, this system helps keep the best players at Luxembourgish clubs and esports organizations.
For the other games, it's mostly that it's an international market, and this also makes it so difficult for Luxembourgish organizations, because we have to compete with very low budgets in Luxembourg. We have to compete with all the international teams, because basically in Counter-Strike, the player doesn't care about playing for a German team or for a Luxembourgish team. But the budgets in Luxembourg are very different from the budgets in Germany. So, for example, the player in the Benelux that gets 500 euros a month would get in Germany for the same level 1,500 euros a month. So it's quite a big big difference, and this makes it very difficult for Luxembourgish organizations.
As in most sports, the lack of money generated by esports means Luxembourg finds it tough to keep its talents in the country. But how do our clubs do? In what league do they play? And what about national teams? Do the best Luxembourgish players even come back for national duty? That's what I asked Joe and Sasha next.
In Luxembourg, together with the Football Federation, everything concerning football, there are football national teams that where we also organize events together for the qualification. Then for all the other titles, in fact, we are part of the International Esports Federation and the Global Esports Federation, and they are organizing world championships. So, for example, in November now, we have one player from eFootball, from Pro Evolution Soccer, that qualified for the main stage in Israel.
Pro Evolution Soccer, or PES in short, is a popular football game made by Konami. They have just rebranded the name of the game to eFootball, and they are the biggest competitor to popular football game FIFA by Electronic Arts.
So you have to qualify yourself. It's not like the country has a spot and decides who goes.
No, we have the country has spots for the regional qualifiers, and then you have to get out of the regional qualifiers to qualify for the main event.
And that's the same thing for other games, or?
Yeah, this year it was Counter-Strike, it was Pro Evolution Soccer, it was Tekken. Yeah, there are several events throughout the year where also the national teams take part. And therefore also as Luxembourg Esports Federation, we do qualifiers to have national teams, in fact, that we then can send to these events.
Okay. And what about esports clubs here in Luxembourg? You said that you have a club. How many clubs do we have? What level do they play at? How do they compete?
I think from what I know from Luxembourg's esports scene, it's we do have a fair amount of clubs. Some of them do have a legal entity behind, and some of them just play for fun. When it comes to the level, I think we can probably say 99% of them are not even considered semi-pro. But you know, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, definitely. I think as said, there's no player in Luxembourg that can live from it. Most of the players even don't get a salary. They play for free. So I would also currently consider 90% or even more of the clubs in Luxembourg as amateur teams.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, I do not have Luxembourgish players in my club, hence why it is a little bit different, and I you know they also get sort of a compensation per month for what they're doing and the time spent.
And what would you say are, maybe if you drop a few names, the biggest teams here in the country?
I think definitely is so last year until this year, in fact, we had two professional teams. But that currently are on hold. This was Rams and Fireman's Esports, because this is again what I said, the budgets in Luxembourg are too low to be able to pay the players. So you have, as a professional team, you can count that you have costs from over 10,000 euros a month, but the budgets you get from partners in Luxembourg is like you even don't get one-tenth of what you would need. Both of these teams decided for a moment to stop their activity. But these were also the biggest players in Luxembourg with millions of impressions per month. Then below, you have C1, ex-Team Slick. That's probably, from the community-wise, one of the biggest in Luxembourg. Of course, you have also White Lion, a new club that currently rises, but that comes with a big community from the football from the football community. So they are also specialized in FIFA. And you also have teams like Outplay. That's, yeah, you also need to mention that.
But how do they compete then? Because you said that there are two professional teams. But if they play in leagues, it's quite boring for them because they're champions every year.
So basically in Luxembourg, there's no real league that you can, except for FIFA.
So they play against foreign teams.
Yeah, for example, for Elements was competing in the Benelux leagues mainly.
Okay.
So they were competing against...
So most leagues that Luxembourg takes part in are with Belgium and the Netherlands.
Yeah, basically, if you want to focus on the Luxembourgish market too, then you need to stay in the Benelux. Yeah, budget-wise, it's not possible, but for the whole Benelux, because all the marketing budgets in the Benelux are too low. So that's also the reason why there's no big team in the Benelux countries, because this is also a problem of languages.
But do they have to move to the Netherlands or Belgium for a day to play those games, or is it all online?
Now, due to Corona, most of the things were online, but slowly, for example, now the League of Legends, the official League of Legends leagues of the Benelux, did their finals now the first time again in LAN, so offline. So normally the final events are offline and all the rest is online, the qualifications or the group stages.
Being able to have a Luxembourgish player face someone from, let's say, Japan when both are at home is something that makes esports unique. No other sport can offer that. But still, when I think about esports, I think about players in front of a screen on small tables. Thousands of fans cheering from the stands. And commentators going crazy. But do events like that even exist here in Luxembourg?
I think we had a few in the past, maybe smaller ones. I think we had a few LANs in the past where you could experience such vibes, basically. But I think in the past few years, also because of Corona, a lot of it died down again. But hopefully in the future, we will get to a point where we can experience really those situations again. But I think the most recent, as far as I can see, was two and a half years ago. And there was the Luxembourg experience, I think, where you had people actually really like, you know, sitting behind a PC on one side and the fans on the other side and really cheering them on and, you know, really vouching for them. And so it was really like an esports feeling, really like a feeling of that you get when you're in a stadium watching football. That was pretty much... The closest we had was that, I believe, yeah. But I think we're getting there again. It just needs more time, obviously, now to come back from Corona. But I think there are a few plans in the making for the next year and the year after.
Esports' exponential growth was slowed down by the pandemic everywhere in the world, and Luxembourg was no exception to that. As things slowly go back to normal, though, I was curious to know where Joey and Sasha see esports in 5 years' time, and where they wish to see it. As you can imagine, those two questions had two very different answers.
Where do I actually see it?
Here in Luxembourg,
of course. Here in Luxembourg, yeah. Is, I think, getting close to what it is currently in our neighboring countries like Germany. Where it also enjoys a little bit more freedom and a little bit more acceptance from brands that do not have anything to do with esports Because obviously, currently, that is not the case.
Yeah, I think non-endemic brands in Luxembourg are very conservative what concerns their approach in to invest or to get in as a partner in esports. And this is completely different for France and for Germany, for example.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. And I think from a personal perspective, where I want to see it, you know, obviously that is a whole different speech I can hold. But I want to see it where it actually belongs, and it belongs on the same level as any other sports in the world.
Recognized
as a fully fledged sports where you have not a player, but an athlete playing or competing. And I think it is the same mental stress. It may not necessarily be the same physical stress, but the mental stress, it's exactly the same. It's a different kind of sport, but it is still a sport. And with that comes the burden of trying to be the best. And that burden sometimes can be quite hard on a person. So it really doesn't matter whether it is football or soccer you're playing or a computer game. As long as it is considered competitive, for me, it personally doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think there's several things to say at this point. So first, like Sasha said, I think it's very important that esports get recognized as a sport. And currently the discussions that we have is, for example, that or the feedback that we get is that FIFA would be accepted as a sport, but Counter-Strike, for example, would not be accepted. The problem there is documentation has some problems, because if you consider esports as a sport, then you cannot say, yeah, because on the display there's a football simulation, it is a sport. But when on the display there is the shooter, then it's not a sport. So if you are saying esports is a sport, then it's because of what happens with the body of the athlete behind. And then if you compare the high level of esports with the high level of traditional sports, then you see clearly that there are no big difference anymore. Of course, esports has learned a lot from traditional sports, but I think this is with every traditional sport that developed later, that they can use the experience gained from other sports. This is exactly what esports did. So if you look at the high level, you have physiotherapists in a team, you have nutritionists, you have sleep analysts, you have psychologists, so you have everything that also high-level traditional sports have.
Yeah, so as you said, everything is there. You have a lot of jobs that are created by esports and things like that. Maybe the only thing that's missing is change of mentality from the people around, the people who are maybe even playing, and the partners.
And the politicians. This is something that, I think in the coalition contract, we have esports written inside, but nothing clearly said about it. But currently, we have several times reached out to them. There's no real interest currently from the politicians. And this is, however, also very important to have them on the side. For example, I can also say that we had the possibility to get one of the biggest esports tournaments to Luxembourg for this or for next year. You can compare to Katowice, one of the biggest esports events in the world. They decided as a town to invest in esports as a tourism project, and nearly everyone in esports knows what is Katowice, a town that normally no one knows, And this is a project you need to invest in. And I think it would could also have been a possibility for Luxembourg, but unfortunately, the interest was not there.
Yeah, so it's definitely no priority at the moment. So that's what you hope is going to change.
Definitely.
So here we have it. That was our very first episode of Hello Esports. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm already fascinated by this world. Thanks so much to Joey and Sasha. They gave us a bag full of thrilling topics to go and find out more about. And that's exactly what we're gonna do. We're on Mario Kart's Rainbow Road and only getting started. So if you're just as excited as I am, be sure to press play on next episode too. See ya!